Welcome back to another episode of He's a Guy podcast. It's been a while since I've seen you guys' faces, seen this, you know. Took a little bit. Doesn't it feel like that?
No, we recorded last week, no?
Okay, cool.
I look tanned in yellow and orange.
You guys went away.
A lot.
Crazy. Nah, but you look great, though.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. But yes, remember, we are everywhere. So like, comment, subscribe. Little button's going to pop up right here. Hit that. Oh, wow.
Rusty, eh?
That felt good.
Though. It felt good?
It felt good.
All right.
You almost spat.
Stop coming to light. Anyway. Yeah, no. So like, comment, subscribe. Let us know in the DM or message us. You guys can find us at He's a Guy Podcast. Everywhere, literally. Twitter. Do we have Twitter yet? No?
It's coming. We're getting there. Right. But we notice a lot of people aren't subscribed who are watching.
Ooh.
So if you're watching, just hit the button.
Can't get a gift.
Don't be a watcher.
You know what I'm saying?
Be a doer. Be a subscriber.
We have a special guest with us today. You know, I want you to introduce yourself, Steve. Let people know who you are, what you do.
All right. My name is Stephen Corin. I am a basketball coach. Coached this past season at JCM, James Carter McWiggin. It's a prep program. We're going to our third season now. I run a program called RWI Basketball as well, too. RWI stands for Run With It. I'll get that question very often. We're now going to our 10th season. So, you know, we went from 3 teams to 4 teams to eventually now 15 teams. So just been growing and growing and growing. And, you know, outside of basketball, married man, proudly married. You know, shout out my wife. I'm not going to say her name because she stays exclusive to me only. but you know, married man and just happy to be here today. And, you know, I'll tell you, Tyshawn, earlier today, I know you didn't ask me this part, but I'll tell you, Tyshawn, earlier, seeing the guys here, you know, where you guys were from like about 20 years ago, playing basketball, stuff like that, to being here right now is definitely a great moment to be able to see. So for you guys and yourselves to be able to still stay friends and, you know, do this together, it's really special, man. So kudos to you guys.
Appreciate that, brother. You know, let's go around the room, get a little mental check-in. That's what we do. You know what I mean? Start with Tyshawn. What's going on, bro?
Feeling good, feeling great, as you can tell. But I'm wearing a short sleeve. Spring is now here.
Come on.
Sunglasses, playing R&B with the windows down. I'm a different person right now. So my mental I'm checking in. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm feeling myself.
I'm checking myself too much.
A little bit. You know what I mean?
My mouth don't want to get the words out.
I know. I couldn't get the words out. No, I'm feeling great. In our country, when the weather gets good, it's like your energy just changes. Like
this place becomes like a whole different place.
The whole people are outside. Everyone's jogging.
There's no parking.
Can't find a parking. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. So yeah, man, it's been great. I'll send it over to Terrell.
It's been good. You know, had a good week. You know, had a stressful weekend. You know, me and Steph yelled at each other.
Mm-hmm. The bridge.
Hold on.
What's new?
And then you know, the Tyshawn tried to calm me down and hung up in my ear. But besides that, it's been great. You know, you can't complain. You know, like Tyshawn said, the sun's shining. So, you know, we got a special guest with us, Steven.
Appreciate it.
You know, passing it over to you. Tell us how you feeling.
Oh, feeling great. Like I said, you know, like you guys said, really, the sun is out. So obviously, you know, when the sun goes up, for me personally, I feel much better. I hate the winter time. I really hate it. So to be able to be in summer or going to more summer, be able to start wearing shorts. I like to wear tank tops. I like to wear shorts as well. So definitely excited for summer and spring. So,
bruh, outside of traffic today, feel great. Feel good. Work went well. You know. Again, kicking here with you guys is, you know, icing on the cake for me, you know? How you doing, bro?
Feeling good. Like you guys mentioned, the nice weather. But on the other side of that is allergies, and it's been killing me. Every day I'm sneezing, my eyes are red. It's bad.
Been cutting grass?
Nah, bro, I don't even need to. It's just bad. Step outside, make your sound and everything.
I don't make no sounds. I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah, honestly, I'm feeling really good coming off the weekend that we had, ran another successful, Mind State U event, our grind sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Ran really well. Like 5 minutes into it, there was like myself, Tyshawn, and like two other people, Toronto traffic.
Yeah. For
real. But as the event kept going, people started to trickle in and, like, you know, just feeling grounded in that, like seeing the Mind State U community continue to grow. Just feeling really good, man.
That's great. You know, Like I said, you guys have some high spirit and things. I think today is going to be a little nice episode, bro.
Feel it.
So today's topic is, can you be too pro-black? What does that even mean? Let's break that down, you know? So the question I have for you guys to kick it off is, when you hear that phrase, pro-black, what does that mean to you?
I think the biggest thing for me is, can you be too pro-black? I don't think so, because here's the thing. I think black people should be pro-black, right? And the reason why I say that is because black people have been through so much in history. Like, you guys have been so, like, degraded. You guys have been down. You guys have been in slavery, stuff like that. Like, I really feel like now is the time to give you guys your flowers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I personally don't think that, like, somebody, you know, shouldn't be proud to be their skin color. I don't think they shouldn't be proud to be their religion. I don't think they shouldn't be proud to be who they are. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, I don't think there's anything... Like, I don't think you can ever be too pro-black, to be honest.
Okay. I would agree. I think when I hear that phrase, systemically, I guess, what was taught or how it comes off is how it seems like that I should shy away from it, or I should be uneasy. I get a feeling of uneasiness when I hear, pro-black. But it's like, why would I feel that way? You know, like Steven just alluded to, that is something that I should be. I am. You know, I'm black. I can't be anything else. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, you know, I'm trying to teach myself even. It's like, when you hear pro-black, it's not a word that you should do one of these two, or a phrase, sorry, that you should do, you know, hide away from. It's something that you should stand in tall.
I was going to say, like, I actually see it quite differently. Okay. When I hear pro-black, it almost suggests to me that the assumption is that you're not pro-black before. Mm. So now having to announce that you're pro-black is suggesting that the default would be that you're anti-black. And to be black and have to say I'm pro-black,
kind of wild,
yeah. Seems kind of wild to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, when you say, can you be too pro-black? It's almost to me, it's like, why do we have to be pro-black at all? We're black. That's just what we are. Why do we have to go and tell I'm pro-black? Right. Black this, black that, black this, black that. It's like, I just am. Mm. You know, like a lot of my friends are black. Most of my family's black. Mm-hmm. Do I have to now announce that I'm pro-black? I love myself. I love my culture. But sometimes I feel like when we say pro-black, it almost starts to move sometimes in a way where, are we being divisive now? Mm. Right? Because I prefer a world where it's like we all could live together in harmony. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I hear pro-black, it means almost only black. Mm. And if we're saying only black, it's like, are we now limiting ourselves?
Parents are in a box. Okay.
That's the question I ask.
I think to add to that, I agree with both of you guys' points, but I also feel like you can be too pro-black when you're weaponizing it. Like when I'm saying, mm-hmm. like, oh, they only did this to me because I'm black, like, or I didn't get the job because I'm black, or they treated me different. Like, I think that it sets you back, because now you're not looking at like what you could have possibly done differently in a situation, or what you didn't bring to the table. You're just like, you're quick to hit that switch that it's because I'm black, So like on the other side of that, I think sometimes being too pro-black, where it's like, where you're looking to just use that as an excuse and weaponize it, doesn't really help your case.
Hmm. Okay.
Cause I kind of agree with what Theon's saying. It's like, now if you're always saying this is happening because I'm black, you're going to look at every situation through that lens.
Like a crutch
or just like a, because that might start to become what's real to you. You know what I mean? Oh, that person looked at me. Oh, it's because I was black. Oh, yeah. The store owner's looking at me. It's because I was black. Hmm. That person yelled at me. It's because I was black. The person cut me off. It's because I was black. Then it's like, you start to see everything as that. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that these situations never happen.
100% they have.
Where people look at you and be like, oh, because you're black, I'm not going to A, B, C, X, Y, Z. But if you choose to see everything that way, that's how it's going to play out for you. You know what I mean? Like, our mind is very powerful. So like, we start to become our thoughts. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if that's what we're always thinking, that's what we're always going to see. Just kind of like when you want to buy a white car or a white Volkswagen, you're going to see white Volkswagens everywhere. Yeah. That's just sort of how the mind works.
Law of attraction.
Exactly.
You think, bro? When you hear it, what do you think?
I agree with everything you guys are saying. Everything. I always So for me, because I go into people's homes.
Yeah.
Right. So no. I mean,
for work alert?
For work.
Make that distinction.
Yeah, right.
Not on my wife.
I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. We're talking pro black, and I'm saying I'm going to people's homes.
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna start on my water.
Might as well say what I do. I do HVAC work, energy care, you know, so I go into people's homes. So I always told myself, because I do get the side eye. I do get people looking at me weird, they say weird things, and I was like, what do you mean by that? Right? So what I try to do now, like when I go into people's homes, I try to make people meet Terrell and not my skin color. Mm-hmm. Right? So once you meet Terrell, they don't see the skin color. Mm-hmm. Right, but sometimes it's hard for them to see past that because of the ignorance that they've been through.
Right,
so it's what they're taught. Like when I hear comments like, "Hey man, I didn't know you were this cool." What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Or smart, intelligent. Like,
what do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. Or, yo, you could only move that fast, or you could lift that one because it's in your genes. You can do it too. I work out. You can work out.
Yeah.
So that's why when I, the whole pro black, and all, like I said, I just try to make them meet Terrell before they see my skin color.
Right.
That's it.
Interestingly enough, actually, I want to sidebar with kind of off of that. Do you guys kind of take offense to that? Or is it something that you kind of just like, okay, you know what? That's somebody's ignorance to it. And then just leave it at that. Like, is that something that comes offensive?
I think it's the way it's delivered. But most times it's like, it's like no sweat off my back. I just kind of just breeze past it because why am I going to allow that to dim my light just on how you feel or your perspectives or whatever you've grown up, like the ignorance you've grown up learning.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just like if somebody's like, yeah, you can only jump fat or you can only jump high because
such and such, right?
Your genes. I'm all right, cool. Next. What's up? You know what I mean? Just move on. That's just my take on it, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a similar place. Like, I think sometimes we place too many expectations on people. So it's like we expect people to understand the exact right thing to say to us and understand, like, it's like when we talk about microaggressions. Oh, this person said, oh, like, oh, you're a black guy. Can you do this? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we expect them to know how to behave. And some people, they just don't. And it's because of potentially, like, where they grew up, who they grew up around, what they were exposed to, what they saw in the media. So it's like when people come up to me and say, what sport do you play? It's like, I can be like, it's because I'm black.
Yeah.
Or I can be like, maybe I just look like an athlete.
Yeah.
Black, white, Mexican, whatever I was. Maybe I just look like an athlete. But am I going to let that ruin my day just because I expect them to know better and now I'm looking at it through a certain lens where I get up? Like, you know how much brain gymnastics you have to do to let something bother you to that degree? But if someone is trying to disrespect you,
it's a different thing. Right?
That's a different thing. But what you can usually tell by their intent, when someone's like, hey buddy, you play basketball, it's kind of like he's genuinely just asking.
Do you remember that in when we were at Laurentian, that they were at Eddie's?
Or the lady came up to me and said, why are black people here?
Yeah. Like, why are you guys here? You remember that?
Yeah.
I remember that, and I play that story in my head all the time in these type of situations, only because it's like I like to push the envelope there, but that's just immaturity in me. Like, I like to see how far you're willing to go. Or, like, just to see if it's ignorance or if it's, like, something that you mean to do. And, I mean, in that moment, I truly believe she was just a drunk woman who played on the ignorance. But, yeah, that's why I kind of asked that. When he mentioned that, that's what I kind of thought of, you know? that's funny. But, interestingly enough, we can move on. In your opinion, guys, is being too pro-black a real concern, or do you feel like that's that kind of a label that's brought up amongst black people or the media, or like, do you guys understand what I'm trying to ask?
If I'm trying to get what you're trying to ask, like, what I for me, I'm gonna put it like this. I went to a white high school.
Mm-hmm.
I had some white people treat me amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Better than some black people.
Mm-hmm.
I had some black people treat me better than white people. I don't judge everybody the same way. I'm sorry. I just don't. Like, it's funny that I'm going to say this. I don't see color.
Right.
Because the reason why I'm saying that is because when I hear them say it, I see some people take offense to it, right? But they shouldn't, because they're actually letting you know, like, I'm not that type. Like, I genuinely don't see color. Like, I'm cool. I look at you as a human being. I don't look at your skin color. I look at you for your Steph, Steven, Dion, and Tashawn. You know what I'm saying? I look at you guys for who you guys are.
Right.
So that's why when we go and you're again with the whole pro-black, like, I get it. But like you guys said earlier, are we limiting ourselves because we're so hard on, I'm pro-black, and you're closing the door to the world because you're so pro-black?
Sorry, can I ask a question?
Yeah, I'll ask it again. In your opinion, is it too pro-black? Is being too pro-black a real concern? Or do you guys believe it's kind of like a label used to tone down, like...
I kind of agree with everything that was said here. I think the more so, like, it just can't be labeled the way it's supposed to be labeled. Instead of, in terms of, like, for example, you know, use the example of you're cool, or I didn't know you're this cool because you were black, or whatever the case was, and you used something earlier, and you used a reference earlier. And I agree with that, because me personally, it's like, you know, as an outsider, more so for me, it's like, okay, you know, come back to me on that one. I just forgot my whole sentence.
Okay.
I looked at her and it just blanked everything. Everything just fucking lost.
Acting, eh?
I had a couple things to say, but it's almost like a counter to what I said earlier, but there's a few things here. Like Terrell's kind of speaking to the fact that like people are just people, and I see people as people. I see people as human beings. And I think that's really important to acknowledge. And then also, like, it reminds me of, like, I used to work at the city in Edmonton. And I remember one of the senior managers was like, you know, Tashawn, like, people think, like, we talk about discrimination so much in the workplace and all this stuff. And he goes, you know what I noticed? People from the older generation, they all get along. People from a little bit younger, they get along. And the people from the youngest, they all get along. When you start mixing them, that's where you have the issue. So he was of the mind of, like, when you put people who come from a similar place, regardless of their skin color, they will find a way to work things out. And I thought that was really interesting. So I feel like Terrell was kind of speaking to that. It's like, it's people when they find commonalities within each other, who you are, where you come from, or what you look like doesn't matter as much. But to your pro-black comment, I think sometimes the assumption as black people, when we think of our culture, I think a big difference in it that we sometimes don't see with other cultures is I don't think we've been conditioned to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this. I saw this one example of this really stood out to me is when I was coaching basketball one season. Well, I wasn't a great coach. I was too mean. Surprisingly, I was very mean as a coach. I don't know how it came out of me. But I was coaching most of my team was black. And I'll never forget, one of the guys had a picture of a girl on his phone. And they were like, ew, you talk to her? And I'm looking at the girl. And like, she was a good looking girl, like a good looking young girl. So I'm like, what's the issue with her? And she was indigenous.
Mm.
And they were like, nah, bro. Like, we don't talk to those type of girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the other kids was like, snow bunnies only, bro. And they were all black. They're like, I'm like, so you guys would never talk to a black girl? And they were like, nah, bro, come on. Like, black girls, like they're loud, they're ghetto, they're this. And I'm like, well, aren't you guys like moms black?
Different.
And they were like, that's our mom though, but like, girlfriend, no way. And I thought, like, I was bothered by that, because that, to me, that told me something. It's like, you guys don't love yourselves. I'm not saying like you only have to date black, or you only have to date, but it's like the fact that you would never even consider somebody that looks like you, that's where it was concerning to me. So it's like, when I think of pro-black sometimes, I think it's almost trying to swing the balance back to where we can now love ourselves, because that actually is a challenge in our community, for sure.
I want to go back to your first point you made about the, like, sectioning off ages or different age groups and then them mixing. I think that's a very nuanced conversation, only because when you grow up in a certain time frame or a certain era, you're looking at it from the lens of, this is kind of just how it is. And we get it because we're from this. And then the next generation will do the same. And then the next generation will do the same. And then when you start to mix them, it comes from a point of, well, we don't really understand. It's like with anything. It's like distressed pants. My grandparents wouldn't understand it because it's not from their time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, so that's what I'm saying. It's very nuanced. I don't know if that's just a don't know if that's a humanistic thing though, because I feel like if you're even from like a Jim Crow time, so people would be not, maybe not okay, but accepting of the idea where it's like, we don't talk to whites don't talk to us, and that's just the way it is. We're fine with that. And then the next generation comes and they're like, well, nah, I like such and such over here and they like me. So we're going to, you know, so it just becomes like, I don't know how to describe that. I didn't know how I felt just in challenging that frame of mind. I don't know if it's a humanistic thing and maybe just kind of it is what it is type of thing.
I think my point is this. I think it's more so like, if we find our commonalities, that one was like where, like the age group. Right. But what I'm saying is like, when we all think of like where we grew up and who we grew up with, no matter what they looked like, I don't feel like race was in the conversation. Like I grew up, like when I think of like the hood I grew up in, it was like everybody was everything, but nobody was like, oh, you're black, you're white. Everybody, we just grew up together.
Right.
It wasn't really a thing, but it's like, because we had that commonality of we come from the same place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure like all of you could speak to that in a different way. Like
yeah.
Who you grew up with. Like, I don't think race was something that we learned as time went on, as we got older, is like, oh, I'm different because I'm like, that wasn't as we got older thing.
Yeah.
So question for you, where do you think racism came from then? If we didn't learn about that, or we didn't learn, or for example, like Terrell said, he doesn't see color, right? So how, who is to blame for the racism that happens in today's world? You know what I'm saying? So like, if you don't see that, or if you don't see like, if you don't, pretty much what I'm trying to say is, it had to start somewhere in order for it to be able to still be a thing, because racism does happen in today's world, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But my question becomes like where does racism come from if it's not like, we don't look at race, we don't look at this, we don't look at that. Like,
yeah, it's just not the reality.
So that's a very complex answer.
That's what I'm saying.
Question.
It's kind of nuanced.
And it, like, if I was to answer that, like, first of all, like racism is a very specific thing. Agreed. That people define, like, scholars will define it as, it has to be a power dynamic where the people in power are oppressing the people who are not in power. So in theory, what they're pretty much saying is, if you're black, you can't be racist against a white person. But if you're white, you could be racist against a black person. Right. So racism is very specific. If we're going to talk about discrimination, let's use the word discrimination to be more general.
Yeah.
Discrimination happens to me from three things: the media, what you're passed down from who you grew up with, and from your experiences. So if black people always rob you, you're going to think black people are always going to rob you. If the media is showing you black people are always robbing people, you're going to think black people are always robbing people. If your parents tell you black people are always robbing people, you're going to think black people are always robbing people. Those are the three ways, in my opinion, how this discrimination happens. It's passed down, it's what you see, and it's your experiences.
No, I actually agree with one of the points you said as well, too. Like, not necessarily discrimination, but you know, CNN used to view Israel as like this like terroristic place and stuff like that. And as a Jewish person, I never wanted to go to Israel. I went to Israel. I'm not gonna lie, it's the safest place in the world. So like, even to that point as well too, it's like, you know, seeing, you know, people talking down or talking about black people, this and that, in poor ways. You know what I'm saying? It's not what it is. You know, when you get to know someone, you get to know someone. You know what I mean? Like, people are people. So like, that's yeah. Anyways, yeah. I just wanted to applaud like. Ask that question to you because I was curious to know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's sort of how I see it. Again, like, it's a very complex issue to navigate, but like, I think the point I'm trying to make is like, all we're trying to do is better understand each other. And I feel like we live in a world where it's like, we're always trying to like redivide ourselves and be like, my struggle is worse than yours. Or like, this is, you're this way and I'm this way and I'm right. And it's like, why is it about who's right? Like, why can't we just figure out how to like
coexist
better?
Okay. The reason why I have the puzzle face on is like, it's because in theory, yes, it's just reality is not so gentle.
In theory, what?
In theory, yeah, we could ask the question of why can't we coexist and let's do a better job in coexisting. And once we leave that table, we all go back into a, I can't say we all, I speak from my perspective. In my opinion, from what I've noticed, a lot of people go back into their own shell of whatever their reality is, right? So when we all come to the meeting table, the reality is, yeah, we could all talk about it as much as we want. That's what makes the theory. But it's just that walking into the world is just, I don't know. It would be happy-go-lucky for me to believe that, like, yeah, no, I want to get to a place of coexistence. I don't know.
So you're saying you don't think that that's possible, like at all?
No, not with the way that people's mind are. I don't.
We're talking with different races?
I think just, yeah, humanistically in the world.
I'd have to disagree. I think
you think it's possible to get to in which lifetime? Like it'd be kids? Like what do that's what I'm talking about. Like we can preach.
What are you talking about? Where everyone gets along?
The idea of pushing the coexistence and yeah, like every thinking that, hey, why can't we just get because of experiences, because of the way people are, I just don't believe that to be a reality outside is what I'm saying.
Do I think we'll live in a perfect world? Absolutely not. But I mean, if you look at like what our grandparents had to go through and to where we are today, like, yeah, I wouldn't say that we're like
just progression. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, if I'm looking at it in a scientific way, if there's progression from that standpoint where it was at its worst and we're not at its worst right now, I mean, I would be naive to say that I don't believe that progression can still happen. We'll never be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's never going to happen. But I do think that as time goes on, like certain ideologies and certain views might start to dissipate. Because I do think that, like, again, racism is definitely taught, but I think that people are starting to get smarter. Racism and discrimination is definitely taught, but I do think over time, like people are getting smarter and starting to realize, like, you know, I think you made the best point. Like when we're kids, we don't view any kids that are around us like, oh, that's the black kid, that's the Asian kid. We don't view that. We're kids coexisting. So if they can do it at the simplest form, why can't we try to replicate that as older people?
Steven, do you feel like, because you coach a lot of black youth, right? Is there like, when you're working with the kids, is there like in your mind, like, I have to be careful what I say, or I need to really censor what I say and be careful and think before, or is it more so like you feel you can just navigate and be yourself? Like, how do you?
When I'm coaching kids in particular, it's more about just navigating and be myself. I'm not really worried about the kids because this kind of go back to what both you guys said. The kids don't view me as whatever I am. It's the parents that I talk to on a regular basis that don't understand anything. So it's like, I figure I have to navigate more so towards the parents than actually the kids. But like, I think the biggest thing for me when I do talk to kids though, like I definitely stay away from, you know, certain vulgar words, for example. Like I do swear, but I try my best not to when I'm around them. And I'm by no means, I'm perfect. You guys have all seen my dad coach, so you guys know how it is. but at the end of the day though, like, I think off the basketball court is where I'm more like cautious of what I'm trying to say. And like, I do hold back a little bit because, you know, I had a kid ask me one time, coach, like, what's your experience as a white person for this scenario? Like during COVID, I forgot who it was. The police officer.
George Floyd.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you feel? I'm like, whoa, like you said, loaded question. And then I had another kid ask me as well, like, how can you, you know, help out with like what we're doing in our community? And I didn't have an answer for him. So like afterwards, like, kind of thinking about those things, it was like, maybe I'm not helping these kids as much as I could outside of basketball. Because as we all know, coaching is not, first of all, it's not easy, mm-hmm. but it's more about like, how can I teach these kids something and save them essentially, not save them, but like help them become men, right? So to answer your question, I don't think I've ever been cautious on the basketball court, but it's always been like off the basketball court that I feel like I have to be a little bit more cautious with.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
I want to go back to actually something that you said before about division, right?
Yeah.
And the phrase pro-black being divisive. the question I have here is, do you think the idea of being too pro-black causes division within or outside the black community, right? So with the positivity that we now have kind of reformed that phrase with when starting, do you think that there's a better way for us to kind of turn that? Like if we were to leave here today now and we were to go out to the world and we said, yo, I'm pro-black or whatever the case is, maybe you don't say that, but whatever, you're just in support of black or whatever the case is, what's a way to say that without being too divisive, without causing division?
I just don't know if you have to say it.
At all?
For what? I like, for me, like, what's the, what is the outcome of me telling everybody that I'm pro-black? Because I just feel like it's very, again, like I said, like, I love my people. I love myself. I love my family. I love my culture. I just feel like it's very evident in everything I do that I'm pro-black. I imagine I put on my bio on Instagram, Tashawn, pro-black.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds nuts.
Is it necessary? Like that's what, you know what I mean? If somebody said I was pro-white.
I was just about to say that.
Can you imagine?
The reason why I ask that is because the problems that are in the black community are evident that we aren't the most pro-black, right? So even if you don't say it, cool, you don't have to say it. But then how do you apply it that shows that there's no division or it doesn't cause division? So like I'm saying, the first thing it will do is, we've talked about it here before, we'll say like with a black restaurant, we'll be like, well, that's why I never come here to these establishments because this, and the third. But if it was a white or an Asian establishment, we wouldn't say those things. And they happen there, right? You never heard, I'm never coming back to this Asian restaurant. We'll show up again. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't say those type of things. And even if we felt those same type of things, we don't say them. But we'll make it a point to say that to the black man, right? So that would be anti-pro-black. That's what I'm getting at. So like, we don't have to say it. We don't have to put it there. But it shows up, right? So regardless of you saying how much you do show up for it, not saying you personally, but regardless of anybody saying, I'm pro-black, or we do things that are now in reverse of that. So that's why I asked that question.
That's a great question, brother. I think like, if I was to answer it, I would say like, the next question you'd ask yourself is, what do I do that shows that I love my culture, that I love my people? And it's not to say that you have to say I'm pro-black, but it's like, it's not even about what you're saying. It's the actions that speak louder.
Right.
Your actions truly determine your character. So it's like, what actions do you take that show you love your community, your culture, the fact that you're black? You know what I mean? And it's like, is it that you watch black entertainment? Is it that you buy products that are from your community? Is it that there's so many things. Do you go to cultural events? Do you listen to cultural music? Do you, like, there's so many ways to be for your culture without having to say I am pro-black all the time, in my opinion. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Sometimes I just feel that it can get to a point where it's divisive. And I feel like you don't have to say it. It's more so in your actions.
Oh, man. The reason why I struggle with that is because it's like, we do so many things that aren't a concerted effort. You see what I'm saying? I think that's what the pro-black thing is actually in replace of saying. Like, when you say you're pro-black, it's the idea of you're making a concerted effort to do something to support your community. It's not just the byproduct of, oh, yo, this is a cool event, I'm just gonna go here. Because it's like, I'm going to make the effort to go there because it's put on by such and such, or because it's in support of this cause that supports. That's I guess what the saying pro-black is, instead of stripping it down to meaning like, well, it could get to a point of division.
I think the way you frame even the things you just said, they almost sound like a chore.
It's a chore?
I have to go to this in support of, or rather just doing it because you rock with it. And that's all I'm saying. It's just like, ask yourself, do I rock with my culture? Do I rock with my people? And what do I do to do that? It's just, to me, it's as simple as that. If you're not doing that, then it's like, do you ask yourself, why not?
Well, because, I don't want to make this a back and forth, obviously, but the reason why I say that is because, do we know off rip what is black owned, what is not black owned? What, like, that's what I mean. So in not making the concerted effort to do that, we don't know. We're just doing it because it's that. But in support of whatever you're trying to support, you do have to now find out, because we're not granted the same type of, you know, fortunes, or the fortunates of owning this or ownership that, or these. That's what I'm kind of getting at. Like, it's like, you would have to make that concerted effort to support that, right? Because some of these things aren't widespread knowledge of what is black owned, or what is the event that's supposed to be supported, da, 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 da. So in some ways, sure, it could be coming off as a chore, but that's a mind frame. That's not a fact. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be a chore. It's something that you would want to do.
I think more so, like, this is maybe a question for the room. Like, what do you guys do to support your culture?
Eat Jamaican food.
I won't lie, it changed my life. Changed my life. Rice and peas and oxtail gravy just changed my whole life.
Oh my goodness.
You know, but like, that's what I guess I'm kind of getting at. So yeah, to be a chore, sure, but.
I'm not saying it is a chore. I'm just saying like the way it was framed when you said it, it sounded like a, and I'm just saying like, they're just easier ways to just normalize just saying, I just support my community. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, again, if I ask the room, what do you do to support your culture?
Eat Jamaican food.
That's the end. That's what I'm saying. Like, we have to make a concerted effort to go ahead and do that. That's what would make it different from changing the mind frame of it being a chore to, yo, I have to go now find out what this and is so I can support me and mine. That's, I guess, the same thing. So it's like even promoting people that I'm not the most of, you know, how do I put that? Even supporting something that is not, that's not in my everyday, right? It's like if I'm finding out something that's, you know, somebody said something to me, okay, I can support that by posting it. I can support this but not actually having to go to that myself. Does that make sense?
So I have a question for the room now again. Would you support something that you don't really rock with?
I don't think those two are the same.
Because it's black.
I don't think those two are the same, though, what I'm saying.
No, I'm asking. I was just asking.
Oh.
No, repeat your question, sorry.
Would you support something? Would you support something, go out here to support something just because it's black, but you don't really rock with it wholeheartedly?
No.
No.
No, I think that is a regression.
Well, it depends. I think
I was about to say it all depends.
Yeah. Like, for example, if you're a rapper and
you don't rock with his
I don't rock with your music, but you're my dog, then yes, that changes. But if I didn't know you from a hole in the wall and you said, yo, listen to my mixtape. Nah, but you know what I mean? Like, so to me, it depends. 100%, it depends.
I think I can actually touch upon that question as well, too. My question, too, would be, would you support Diddy right now? It's a fair question. You brought up rapper. Yes. Would you give your mixtape to P. Diddy despite everything going on right now?
Yes.
You would?
Hold on. Yeah. What do you mean? Like, would I give him my mixtape?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I support him. But he could just level me to a different... He could help me level up.
Nah. But you would look like you support.
You know what? You know what? That's a tough one. Because Diddy's going through something right now. That's a very tough one.
If we're going to go by humanistic standards, you're innocent until proven guilty. What is he proven guilty of?
It's not. It's just that it's how it looks to the media. Like what we're talking about with black people robbing this, and you see it, you're like, oh, I'm gonna stay away from that. Right now, the smart thing for you to do is not be on that side.
Even if he can level you up.
Even if he can level you up, because how far is he gonna level you when they're gonna be like, this is a product of Diddy.
Okay, so if are you dancing to I Need a Girl? If it came on right now.
Who's in the club?
I don't like that. I don't like that.
But that's why I said from the beginning, it all depends. Nope. Because now, hold on, I'm going to put it to you like this. Now, if I went to Diddy and I'm trying to give him my mixtape and he knows the situation, he should be like, yo, you know, I can't really do much for you, but I can give you my connects to help you to further your career. That's how that conversation should go. I shouldn't have to now say, yo, Diddy, I know you're in a tough one, but that's I need you. I know that's not what you asked me, but that's what I'm hoping for right now. I gotta twist it up a little bit.
He's removing the goalpost, right? He asked if you would support Diddy. Supporting Diddy would be, would you put the song on and dance to it? You're saying it would depend who's in the room. That means you're doing something.
Right now, I'm sorry, I cannot.
Why?
We had this conversation, or it's like, even when we're like, from our very first pod, when we're talking about if your boy did something crazy, you would rock with him behind the scenes, but you can't in the media eye because you can't ruin your reputation.
But you're not related to Diddy, though.
I know, but I'm just letting you know. I just asked you a question. I said, I can't. Be just because of what he's going through right now. It's not that I don't rock with him, but it's just not a good look for me as well. I can't do that.
Shit, I Need a Girl comes on, I'm dancing.
No, nobody said you can't dance. I never said I wouldn't dance.
But that's in support.
No.
Listen to someone's music
doesn't mean you support.
If I put the song on, I just told you, if I put the song on, that is a support. I'm sending money to Diddy. That is support.
Doesn't mean you support him, though.
So what does that mean?
It means you're listening to a song.
And I put money in his pocket.
Doesn't mean you support him.
So what is that?
Everything that your money goes to doesn't mean you support it.
What I'm saying is, if I put a Diddy song on, me, Stefan, puts a Diddy, I put my phone, Apple Music, I put a Diddy song on, what am I doing in that? What is that?
You're listening.
Hold on, hold on. That's not that. You guys said to go to a club and I need a girl came on. No, I never once said that. We could roll back this. I never said that.
You said in the club. Come on.
And you said that.
I said, if I put Diddy song on right now.
But your initial statement was in the club. If Diddy song came on the club.
I said, would you dance?
And I said, yeah.
Depends who's in the club. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a no. It would depend who's in the club. That's and like, who's in the club then?
But my thing is like,
who's judging you in the club?
For me to hear Diddy's song doesn't mean I support what he's done.
That's not what I said. I said, if I put it on.
Are you supporting? Yeah, but if you like, Diddy. I mean, if you like the song, you like the song, bro.
So then,
that doesn't mean you're supporting.
But Diddy had bangers before we knew
any of that.
That's why I said, removing the goalposts. I'm not in support of what Diddy's done. His thing, what he's going through right now, I'm not in support of Diddy and what he's done. I'm in support of his music that is supporting him.
No, you're still not even, you're not in support of anything. What you're saying is you like the song.
Right.
You can frame it any which way you want. Yes, technically streaming rights will go to him, but it's like, you're not saying you support what he did.
So what did we start the conversation with when we said, if you're posting something of somebody, whether you listen to it or not, that is showing support, right?
If that's your intent to, yes, absolutely.
So what, I don't understand what you mean your intent to.
If I'm posting something to support somebody, then I'm supporting them.
Well, if you post it, or I listen to it, there's different ways of support. What I'm saying is bottom line, or we're saying two lines anyways, but what I'm saying is by and large, you are supporting by playing the song.
I disagree.
Let's agree to disagree.
We move. I don't know. So, Steven, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you didn't fully get something that your partner has experienced as a Black person?
100%. Prime example, you know, my wife's been to my house a few times before we got married and engaged, whatever. And one of my stepmom's friends actually stared at her, and I don't understand why, right? And I started seeing a difference in my wife at that moment. You know, she definitely wasn't as happy as she was a second ago. What's going on? So-and-so was looking at me weirdly. And I'm like, okay. I know the person. So for me, it's kind of like, I don't think they look at you that way, but I also don't understand what you're viewing as a Black person. Mm-hmm. So I can't relate to at that point and fully understand what you're going through. So for me, it's like, I don't think I'll ever understand that. But what I did afterwards is try to talk to her and say, hey, you know what? Why did you feel this way? Why did you feel she was looking at you? She's like, cause you could just tell the moment I walked upstairs, her eyes completely changed. And like just the look she had on her face, more sort of like not disgusted, but just was a lot different than was prior to her getting up there. And again, I never understood that, because for me, I'm in a world that I feel should be of equality. Mm-hmm. So I don't look at people as anything different. So when she felt that type of way to me, it was like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand.
Hard things go. I'm sorry for both of you. Actually, it's tough.
Yeah. And I'm sorry for her too. And honestly, like, I don't know, like, maybe you guys can explain this to me. Like, why, I guess when you guys are walking across the street or something like that, why do people view you as the way they view you? Like, for me, it's like, again, I play basketball. My parents are very, you know, particular of, you got to treat everybody the same way. You know, you got to do certain things the right way and treat everybody the way they treat you and vice versa. So like, what, like, why? Why are you guys viewed, or and not you guys, I mean Black people, viewed as like, as that? Like, you know, walk the other way, walk this way, walk that way, don't walk next to them. I don't understand, because there's just as many, many cruel people in the world than just Black people. Like, Jewish people are fucking evil, or
continue.
Jewish people are evil too.
Yeah. There's, you know, evil everywhere.
There's evil in every culture, every race.
You know what I mean? So again, it's like, why is it particularly to like, just Black people?
I think Tashawn touched on it, to be honest with you. It's experience, media. What was the last one?
Discrimination.
And what your parents have taught you, right? To me, I look like, I feel like I'm like a teddy bear. Like, you know what I mean? And sometimes when I walk down the street to like answer like your point, and somebody walks across the street, I'm like, me? but again, I think experiences shape how people view situations. Mm. Who knows? They could have walked down the street before and somebody that was Black robbed them. But it's like,
to place that on everybody's kind of
wild. Yeah.
But I wonder, would it change if somebody that was white robbed them? Like, as a white person, somebody that was white robbed them, would they still view that experience walking on the street the same?
No, I think it changes because you know more of what you know. So the same thing for us, if a black person robbed me, I wouldn't look at every black person from then on and be like, oh, you know, black person.
But to that point, I think that me personally, I would be more standoffish. I would be more alert.
To every black person from then on?
100%. As a kid, have you never been in a situation where, like, whatever, like, if a black person was approaching, you're like, all right, let me just make sure that I'm...
Yeah, but it all depends on...
their demeanor.
What's being presented to me, right? So I wouldn't look at every situation and be like, well, this person's intimidating based off of this, this, and this. Like, obviously, I'd probably run down a quick checklist in my head of what I'm being presented with, but...
No, I actually see what you guys are both saying.
It
very vividly.
Because as a kid, like, I think of me walking down the street anytime that somebody was black or whatever. I don't know where they're from. I don't know who they are. I don't know why they're here. I don't know. They don't know why I'm here. And it's already that standoffishness. It could have been they got rushed before. I could have gotten rushed before. Where that friction comes from. I'm just saying, I like in our community, we don't hold that to that same standard. 100%.
I agree with you saying Matthew R. Morris in his book had a very good chapter on this. And he talked about like walking down the streets of Brooklyn, having to look like a certain type of hard so nobody would mess with him. But then walking past the police station, pulling his pants back up, tucking his chain and looking a different way.
And my question to that would be, is that every black person or is that the environment you're in with those black people?
It's not every black person, but however, it's like...
But that's what I mean.
I think our threats when we... Just from our experiences in life, when we look at each different community, we see different threats.
Absolutely.
Right? So what I would say is, for me, in my personal experience, when I'm around black people who I haven't known in the past, there is a checklist we go down. Like what you're saying is like, how are they dressed? Where are they from? How are they looking at me?
Yeah. Where am I? Like that's what I'm saying. Like
there's a checklist, right?
But I wouldn't, because I'm black, I wouldn't look at every black person like that because of those checklists. That's what I'm saying. Versus a person outside of the race now looking at the whole of another race because of that. So like adversely, if I would say I got robbed by a white person or a white person rushed me, right? And then if I were not to know many white people, then yeah, that might shape what white people are to me. But what I'm saying, now putting myself back into being done by a black person or being robbed by a black person, because I know so many blacks, I could know to myself, like, you know what, off of my experience, not every black is like this. So I'm not going to picture every black person that's walking by me like that.
I get what you're saying. I think the point we're making, and from what I'm seeing, is kind of like we put everybody we see who we don't know in a profile when we see them, no matter who they are. We see a black guy in a suit, it's a profile. We see a white guy in a suit, that's a profile. We see a black guy with some grills on and a do-rag and his jeans sagging low, that's a profile. We do it too.
Right.
Right? And now it's like when we see that profile, depending on where you are and how you feel, is that guy a threat to you? Potentially. Terrell, can you speak to this? What would you say?
Well, just call me out in the middle of a good
point. I might not even want to say that.
because I'm listening to what everybody's saying. So, like, both sides make really good points. Like, Steph, I get your side completely. Like, I'm walking down the street. Let's say a black guy robs me. I'm not going to think every black guy is going to rob me walking down the street. Or every white guy. I'm not going to be on the fence. But then, because I got robbed now, yeah, I gotta, you know, be on my P's and my Q's. I gotta go through the checklist. Mm-hmm. So when I'm going through the checklist, like Tashawn said, so I'm walking down the street, a black guy's there, he has a suit, not a threat, but he could be. You see what I'm saying? We let our guard down because we thought he wasn't a threat. Gotcha, robs you.
Yeah.
Right? But it could be the same thing as you're walking down the street and the guy who's wearing the do-rag and pants sagging, he might not rob you. He might just rob somebody. You're good. You know what I'm saying? He said, but I could see why you would think he would rob you. Mm. Because personally, if you ask me, if I'm walking down the street and a guy with a do-rag and all that stuff. Pusha I am crossing the street. We're not even discussing that. If you don't cross the street, that's on you. I'm gonna put that out there right now. If a guy on the street is walking with a ski mask on, if you guys don't know what a poo shiesty is, a ski mask on, cross the street. I am telling you, cross the street. And if he crosses with you,
what if it's at the top? You're running? You're going across the street?
If it's at the top, he's just... No, it's not a durag. He's just wearing a cap. He's just wearing a cap at that point. But if he has it on, listen, you know what they say? No face, no case.
Yeah.
So run. That's all I'm saying. But I'm going to... Like, to be honest, I get both sides. I don't even know how to say it because, like, I'm telling you, if I'm walking down the street and I see a guy sagging, yeah, my spidey senses are going off.
Mm. Right? I think that's to, like, what I was saying. Like, you have the description. So, like, if for example, if an Asian guy robbed me, how he looks, that mold is how I would view anybody that looked like that. I would think, okay, cool, that person's gonna... I don't necessarily say because you're black, white, Asian. I think that anybody that fits that mold of how you looked, if I was to get robbed, then that's how I'm going to view that person.
The whole point of this is we need to stop judging the book by its cover.
But it's not only that. I think naturally humans judge, but I think what we're saying is, like, not everyone's like that. And we need to just come to understand it. Like, it is natural to judge. Mm. It is. It's a natural occurrence. Like, we're always comparing ourselves. Like, that's what we do. That's how we assess a situation. We judge it. Mm. Right? And it's like, it's not only specific to any race. Like, there are, you could see a white person that looks threatening. If I saw, like, there's a certain look where it's like the tattoos all mm-hmm. over the head and the bald guy with the big beard and the leather vest.
Crossing the street, though?
I'm crossing the street, brother.
I feel attacked. No, I'm joking.
We spoke.
You wear your leather vest on your head?
We spoke about this beard. The last time. When you asked me and you said, so would it be any difference if there was a big white guy walking down the street? And I already told you, I would cross the street. Not because I'm scared of what might happen. I'm just going to cross the street to prevent what might happen.
Be preventative measures. Okay.
Right?
And again, it's like these judgments are just based on our experiences. Again, what we see in the media, mm-hmm. our own experience, and what we were taught. And it's kind of like, if we just say, just throw all that out the window, it's kind of hard sometimes. Because there are situations that's like, these judgments we make actually protect us.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's a very difficult conversation to have. Because now when it comes across racial lines, it becomes discrimination and racism. Mm-hmm. That same us crossing the street with the guys with the ski mask, now if a white guy wants to do that, now it's stickier.
No.
What do you mean?
But what do you mean, huh? What do you mean?
If Steven is talking about, I see a black guy in a ski mask, I'm crossing the street.
Yeah.
If he was to say that publicly, we would look at that differently.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think the ski mask is what tops it off.
I'm about to say, hold on. So Steven, let me clarify this.
He's not talking about, are you crossing the street because a black guy?
How do you know he's black? He has a ski mask on.
I think that's what tops it off.
Right?
I don't even blame him. How about you?
If you did it, cross the
street. Steven, how can you tell me?
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's exactly how I see it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't know. Steven, have you ever questioned whether you're doing enough or too much as an ally? And how did you navigate that, if you've ever been in that?
To be honest, as frank as I can be, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I don't know because I haven't done anything per se in the public. But I mean, I try my best when I'm coaching kids, for example. Like I said earlier, when Tyshawn asked me, you know, the biggest thing for me when I'm trying to coach kids is always trying to get them to become men and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's a very sticky situation because how can I relate to these kids? You know, not because they're kids, but like my skin color. Do they listen to me? Stuff like that. So I think the biggest thing for me is really just I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm doing enough or doing too little. I want to do more. I just don't think I've ever had the opportunity to do more. So.
Sure. How about opening it up to the room? Do you guys feel like they're not doing enough for the black community or too little for the black community? Is it enough?
Is your basketball team predominantly black?
So JCM's in basically Jane and Finch. So
you said that's James Cardinal McGuigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the hood.
So
and I'm competing with Yace. Anyone that knows Yace, you know, so they're literally like
up the street.
We're in the same school actually.
Oh, wow.
I think to your point though, I think that you are doing something though, right? Because like you're giving them an outlet to not be necessarily in the streets doing different things. Basketball, this is how I view it, actually. Like, basketball has taught me so much in life and transferable life skills. So with you teaching them that, I think that, like, is an extension of you kind of helping towards a Black community. Because, again, like I said, you're giving them an opportunity to play basketball. You're teaching them these values, whether it's hard work or showing up for themselves every day. Whereas they might not get that if, like, if you weren't there, I guess. If you weren't at JCM, they might not have a basketball program because nobody wants to coach it, because the stigma is that, like, there's Black youth here and they don't listen. They don't go to class. They're not going to pass, whatever. But, like, I think, to say to your point, I think that you are doing something
for my... You are. You could have easily jumped up and said, I'm going to Oakville Venom.
Yeah. you could easily, yeah, you could pack it up and just say, like, I don't need to do this, but you are. Nice. So I think that you are... You're doing something.
I appreciate that, but I think the biggest thing for me is is more so, like, because I'm a white person, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm a white person, when I do try to discipline them, if they're not getting disciplined at home, for example, why they listen to me? You know what I mean? So it's like when it comes down to I can do everything that I was taught, because, again, I was fortunate enough to be able to grow up in the Vaughan area. I didn't have the same lifestyle that some of these kids have. Why would they relate to me? Why would they listen to me? How would I be able to make them impact them? You see what I'm saying? So, like, if someone that can relate to them in the same area, you know, that they're able to at least understand at that point, maybe they'll listen to them a bit more than listen to me, because I don't know how to relate to them at that point. So, like, it's tough, because I want to relate to them. I do. But when they don't listen, it's like, it's very frustrating. And then at the same time, it's also like, maybe I'm just not good enough.
That's what you're saying is really interesting. I love what you said, Theon. It's like, Theon really talked about the intention behind what you do. And it's like, your heart's in the right place. And it's like, what more can we ask for? And sometimes I think in today's world, it's almost like we're asking you to know everything. We're asking you to understand everything. Like, what research have you done? What do you know? How do you? And it's like, the fact that your heart's in it, I think, to me, is like the best part. What you're going to learn over time. And you're going to learn as you interact with different people in different communities. That's how you'll continue to learn.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could read about Black history and watch all the movies and ever say you understand. Like, I don't think there's a point where you understand what it's like to be Black, but it's like, by being in the community, it's like, you're showing love. And, like, that's the main thing. But to your point, like, relating to the youth, I think you guys have talked about it as fathers, is like how important the being there is. And sometimes it's like, you can't always say the perfect thing or be the perfect person for them. But it's like, I think for youth, I don't have kids, but from what I'm hearing and I understand from what everybody's saying is like, and from being a kid myself, having parents, it's like it's the being there that matters more than anything.
I think even Andrew Bond spoke about this too. Like I think you're... It wouldn't matter if it was just a Black person either, too. I want you to know that. Like, because you could just stick anybody there, and just because they're Black doesn't mean that they will get through to the youth, and the youth will relate to them. Like what he was saying, I think it's one of those things that happen over time. Like, what I would say is just continue to listen, because as you're gaining knowledge, you'll start to understand different things. And, like, I don't think you'll never fully understand, but you become... I don't want to say sympathetic, but like you kind of just understand maybe like why this person ticks that way or why their anger is that way. And to be honest with you, I think over time they just start learning different ways to how to deal with, okay, I've seen this before. You know, okay, listen, I'm here for you. I know how to, I know what you're feeling right now, but I want you to know I'm not going anywhere, kind of thing. And you just never know.
I had a kid that played in my program. I don't know if you guys know him or not. He's obviously younger than us, but his name is Keith Tennant. He passed away 2 or 3 years ago, I want to say. And that was my guy. Like, you know, I'm not a savior by any means necessary, but like whenever he wouldn't be in his house, brought him into mine. You know what I'm saying? Gave him food when he'd be. And I'm not saying that to try to big myself up or anything. I'm saying that because when he passed, the way he passed, it hurt me even more, because we didn't talk for a couple years because of the COVID situation. And also him and I had a bit of a falling out. It is what it is. Kids and adults don't always see eye to eye. And I'm not trying to be these kids' friends, but when he passed, and I got the call from, you guys know Buck, right? You guys, yeah. So So Buck called me and told me, and I said, honestly, man, like, I just started crying because that was like a son to me. Like, okay, not actual son, but like a son figure, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just generally cared. So to find out that he got shot, that he find out that he got, like, you know, it just hit home a little bit more because it's like, you don't want to get those calls as a coach ever. So that's also another reason why I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing enough, because then when I hear stuff like that, it's like, I guess regardless, one way or another, those kids are going to do what they want to do anyways. But again, as adults, as coaches, as mentors, we take that to the chest a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But I do appreciate you guys reminding me that I am doing enough, I guess, because sometimes it's draining. It's draining.
Bro, you're there, though. You know, like you said, representation shows a lot. Just being there as an outlet for people, just to know, you know, these kids would be like, oh, Coach Stevens there. That's it.
I hope.
That's it.
I hope.
Honestly. So quick last two questions. Why do you guys think the Black Pride or pro Black has sometimes that it feels like an undertone of like we're going against, or it has like an anti any other type of race culture type of undertone?
Say it again, sorry.
When you hear like the phrase pro Black or like that Black Pride that we're talking about in this episode here, why does it feel like there's an undertone of like we're anti other race? Or anti-other cultures?
I think we sort of kind of spoke to that a little bit earlier, in the sense that it just feels sometimes to others that we're excluding them and we're creating the same scenario in which we're frustrated with being in ourselves. Mm. So it's like we felt like we've been excluded and now we're the ones also excluded. So I think it comes off of that sentiment where it's like we're not true. The intention is not to exclude. The intention is just to put us first, mm-hmm. because we're never put first, mm-hmm. and I think that's where the confusion sometimes lives.
But I think even to that point as well too, it's like, this is what I kind of said earlier, it's okay if you guys are doing that, because like at the end of the day, like, you guys have been through so much in history, you know what I'm saying? So like, if you guys are, you know, supporting your own kind, do it. Like, there's no reason why you can't do that. There's no reason why, like, who made these rules saying that you can't support each other? Because honestly, the way I look at it, if you guys found a way to support each other, bro, the hierarchy, they're done. And you guys will, like, Black people will truly take over the world and run it in more ways and more businesses, more success, more stuff like that. I'm not saying they're not successful. I'm just saying, like, if you look at the way that society views people, views Black people in itself, I feel like you're entitled to having the opinion that you guys have and supporting each other that way. You're like, strength is numbers, and the more you guys come together, the better I think it would be, to be honest.
Yeah, we are the trendsetters.
I agree with everything you're saying. Absolutely.
I do like that too, because like, if you think about like what's going on right now in the world, like Canada, if you walk in the grocery store, everything's like Canadian made. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if we're doing that on a national level, why can't we do it like in terms of supporting
our
own,
yeah.
If that makes sense,
yeah, absolutely.
To answer your question, Steph, I just think we want to be heard, right? Mm-hmm. We've been in the shadows for too long. Where I feel like when we say pro Black, it's not necessarily to offend anybody. It's not to really exclude anybody. It's more so just to let you know, like, we want to be heard and seen as well.
Yeah,
because we haven't been for so long.
Thank you, Sean, for adding on to that.
It seems like it'd be a good clip.
So he's like, let me get in it.
I'm crying. Okay, so for the last question, go around the room, just everybody to answer. What advice would you give to someone who's trying to become more vocal with their identity?
And that's just an open, not just like Blacks, yeah, in general.
Sure.
I guess it kind of goes down to like, what would you tell your little self? Like, what would you tell yourself with a child, right? I think the biggest thing for me that I try to tell someone, or tell myself, I guess you say, is understand that life is cruel. Mm-hmm. The world is cruel, and that you're going to learn a lot of new things from the hard way. if you can understand life in itself, the older we get, the more we'll understand. But when we're younger, if we could take those lessons that we learned and try to bring it to being an adult, don't ever change being a kid, to be honest with you. I think that's the one thing that, like, because you guys all made some great points. When we're younger, we're naive to everything. Be the same way. Be the same way, but educated at the same time as well, too. I know there's a very contradicting comment, but that's one thing.
Find a great area in there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Very contradicting, but same time, like, don't allow people to blindside you from what you're trying to do.
I like that.
Are you looking at me to say something?
I don't know what more to add to that, to be honest. I like that answer. That kind of takes from mine, to be honest.
For me, it's like kind of like what Steven's saying. It's just like, be unapologetically you. Love yourself. You know, it's just kind of like, I think throughout our childhood, I feel like as children, when we were like little kids, we just say whatever's on our mind. We actually like genuinely like love the world and we love ourselves. And as we get into teenager, we start to try to be like everybody else and start to try to do what's cool or fit in and start to hide who we truly are. And then somehow in our 20s, we get lost. In our 30s, we start to get a little bit of it back. And as we get older, we try to get more of it back. But we spend so much time unlearning all the masks and layers we put on. So it's like, I would just say to my younger self, you'll just be you from time. And it doesn't mean like be reckless with that and like pretend and go into situations and guns ablazing, walking in like, yo, I'm that guy all the time. But it's like, just like, don't be afraid to like, what makes you different also makes you special. And I feel like as we get older, it's like we're learning to just say what's on our mind and be real and be honest and be genuine. Like it takes time to get there. But I would say to my younger self, just love yourself. Don't be afraid to be you. I feel like even like there was a time I didn't even like being black when I was going to a white school. Remember, I wish my hair blew in the wind. I think I talked about this on the podcast.
I don't know if I've ever heard you say that.
I didn't say that before. Man's come in like running outside and their hair was blowing. I wish my hair did that too.
You could do this, yeah.
I wish I could. Yo, you know what I mean? I remember a girl in my class said to me, he goes, you have no hair. I said, this is hair. And I remember feeling bad about it. I remember hating it. I remember being like, you know what I mean? Like coming to school smelling like food. I remember one girl said, you smell like black people. And I remember feeling like, oh, shame. I smell like fried fish. But it was like, do you see what I mean? It was just like, I had this like shame around like my culture and my skin color. And it's like, be proud of that.
Yeah. Okay. Deshaun, hip us to the game, bro. What's going on?
Before we let you go, we got a game called Let's Talk About It. It's a game of vulnerability. It helps men talk and have conversations because sometimes we don't. There's three levels of card here. There's a white one, which is the more surface, blue, which is medium, black, which is deep. Pull a card. You can either answer it first and ask the room or
ask the room and answer
it last.
Okay. No pressure. I'll go.
I feel like very... I know we're pro-black, but you don't have to go black.
I'm making a card. I'm like, I saw you pick the white one.
Now you can pick the white one, bro.
I want to go that deep. That's all. Oh, this is
surface.
I asked it first.
You can do whatever you want. You can ask.
Just read the question.
Read the question and answer.
Read the question. What is something that makes you really happy?
Turn the mic. Make sure you have that.
Sorry. Want me to say it again?
Sure.
What is something that makes you really happy?
You good?
Two things. One, making an impact to these kids that I coach. And two, I know it's going to be very cliche, my wife. And I'll tell you why my wife. It's the fact that, okay, so everyone that knows me knows back in the day, I was a player, this and that, never thought about marriage. We talked about this before as well too, with marriage and whatnot. Marriage for me was never a thing. Family for me was never a thing. I come from a broken household, only child, this and that. Her family welcomed me. And because of her and because of the family that she brought me into, I'm able to see family. I'm able to see that now. They looked at me as who I am. They didn't look at me as race. They didn't look at me as religion. They didn't look at me nothing like that. They looked at me strictly because of that. And honestly, like, that's what made me want to go get married. And that's what made me, and because of that, it's like, I want to be a better man because of the family you have around now too. When we have family gatherings, it's 12 people, 13 people. Maybe that's during like a Passover dinner. a regular Sunday for them was like 40 people. So like, it was nice to be able to see that. I want to see that. So my fam, my wife, her family, and you know, definitely work with the kids makes me happy.
Salute to that.
You almost brought some tears to my eyes, you know. I think I'm sweating.
Yeah, me too.
Salute to that, man. That's big. Shout out to her. Something that makes me happy. Yo, as I'm getting older, relaxation. I won't even lie to you. Time that I actually can sit down and think to myself, damn, like anything I had set out to do today, I accomplish, I kick my feet up. I think that goes, and I'm noticing that as I'm getting older with more tasks and things to handle, but I think that goes over a lot of, not to mention like a lot of people, but my own. Like I overlooked that a lot. Mm. The ability to just sit down and kind of rest for a second. Whether it's a second, 10 minutes to an hour, whatever, I just noticed myself over the last little bit getting things done in a fashion where now I can even watch a full basketball game. Like I'm enjoying the playoffs, like all these type of things where I actually get to sit down and rest, relaxation. I think that's been one thing that I've overlooked and I'm grateful for right now, to be honest.
I like that. You look like a man that sits down and goes, ah.
All the time. All the time, for real.
I think mine's similar to that. Obviously, I can say my fiance, my kids, mind state you, but I think working on myself to be a better person, whether that's eating healthier, what I'm consuming, sitting down with my life coach, sitting down with you guys, working on my finances, and just kind of just trying to set myself up. I think that just really like, I really enjoy that these days, just like trying to level up, going to the gym, just working on myself and just being better for myself and for everyone around me.
Love that, bro.
Remember, stare off?
me, it's honestly just having freedom. Like I always say, like when people talk about like your values in your life, like my number one is freedom. I don't like being told what to do, when to do it, how to do, what I should say, what I have. I just, freedom really makes me happy. And I feel like I sometimes forget that I do have so much freedom of choice in my life, like freedom of like what I want to work on, when I want to go to the gym, who I want to spend time with, when I want to go on a trip, the fact that I'm able to just go get food whenever I want, like all those like little things that entail freedom is like, it's priceless to me. And that's what makes me happy, because like freedom is why we get to do even something like this. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, for me, it's just like having the freedom to just do and be.
Good. All simple, man. A lot of things that, you know, make me happy. I would say money. But I know you guys want something. I know you guys want something deeper than that. So.
That's you. That's you. It's yours.
I want my, that's what makes me happy. But the reason why I say that is because seeing my kids smile. Mm. That's it. Like I could be having the shittiest day ever, but to hear somebody say, "Daddy, I love you." Mm. Or "Daddy, what's for dinner?" Mm. "Daddy, what are we doing?" "Daddy, let's go." It's just priceless. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know if you guys have kids, but when you guys do, when you guys...
No, I don't have no kids, bro. You know I don't.
But when you do and you hear that, it's a whole different ball game. That's it.
Like, to even to add to that, so now with my boys, my youngest is like getting to the stage now where he sees his brother and he lights up. But when I'm driving them to daycare and I see them like laughing in the background with each other, I could be having the worst day. That would just change my whole mood. Like I just smile just watching them, because I'm like, I'm seeing this bond start. Crazy.
I love that, bro. Okay. Weekend. Anything to promote?
Anything to promote?
RWI basketball. Come on, get ready.
There you go. RWI basketball. I can give this over here or no?
Do your thing.
Okay. RWI basketball on Instagram. It's under RWI basketball, or on Twitter. Or I guess X, RWI basketball as well too. We're on YouTube, RWI basketball. We're all over the place. the same time as well, I just want to give a shout out to Dennis Johnson. Right now, I'm currently on a 4-day cleanse, and I'm thankful that tomorrow is my, or today's my last day. So tomorrow I can finally eat some food. But Dennis, you are a real one, and thank you for that. So, but yeah.
No, Dennis.
Yeah. You know Dennis?
Yeah, from back in the day.
You went to Carr, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We'll talk after.
Well, remember to like, comment, subscribe. He's a Guy Podcast. We are everywhere. Little button right here is going to come up again. Hit that. You know what I'm saying? So from us to you, tune in next time. See y'all.
Another one will be out.